Noswaith dda, noswaith dda. Oh, thank you, very good. That's, there is hope. Very simple and brief tonight for me. We're all tired. Lord, just for the right way to express what you've laid on my heart, just give me the words, Lord. Following Jesus, clearly, this is the simple idea. It's hugely profound. I want to encourage you to follow Jesus with your eyes set on eternity. I want you to lift your head. I want to lift your gaze. I want you to set your eyes on eternity. Look and see with eternal eyes. That's the message, okay? The local zoo was in difficulty because the giant panda, which was the star attraction, had died, and they couldn't afford to replace it. So someone had the great idea of buying a giant panda costume and getting someone to act out the role of a giant panda. And they found someone, and he was so good at it that no one knew the other one had died. And the panda man kind of grew into his role and was doing well, but got a bit carried away on one occasion, and swinging on a bamboo branch, I think, he flipped out of his pen into the lion's enclosure. That was not good news. And the lion started to walk towards him, or prowl towards him, roaring. And the roar was getting louder. Now, to begin with, the panda man, to be fair to him, stayed in role and just made panda noises. But as the lion came closer and the growls got louder, the panda finally lost it and said, "Help, get me out of here. Help, let me out of here." Only to hear the lion say, "Keep quiet, man, or we'll both be out of a job." Sometimes things aren't always what they seem. The HMI inspector was in school and they were looking at First World War poetry and Rupert Brooke and Wilfred Owen, people like that. And the inspector looked over the shoulder of the young lad and he'd written, "Devastation, devastation, devastation. Despair, despair, despair. Destruction, destruction, destruction." The inspector was mightily impressed. "Young man," he said, "I've just got to say that poem is hugely moving." "What poem?" said the young lad. "Well, those words." He says, "That's not my poem, those are my spelling mistakes. I've got to write the words out again and again. That's what the teacher makes me do." Things aren't always what they seem. 3rd of June 1987, Wales playing in the Rugby World Cup. It's in New Zealand, so it's an early kickoff, I think 4 o'clock in the morning. So I set the clock radio, and there it was. And they're playing Canada, so you want to be at first Rugby World Cup, 1987. At 2 o'clock, Andrea nudges me and she says, "It started. It started." Well, I look at the clock, it's 2 o'clock. I'm thinking, "What's happened? What's Radio Wales, Alistair, sort it out. What's happening here? It's not, how can it possibly start? It's 4 o'clock and 2 o'clock." And meanwhile, Andrea, my heavily pregnant wife, was making her way down the stairs, and I heard her on the phone downstairs saying to Morrison Hospital, "It started. The baby's coming. I've got to go in." Later that morning, Geraint James was born, 11 o'clock. They gave him to me. I was in floods of tears. He was in floods of tears. Andrea was giggling. She was on gas and air, so she was well out of it. But things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes there's a bigger picture. Sometimes there's a deeper reality. And it seems to me that as you read Philippians, on every single page, I get the impression that Paul sees the bigger picture. Yes, there are circumstances in front of him. Yes, it's a thank you letter. Yes, there are issues about the sickness of the man from Philippi. Yes, there's issues about his chains and not being able to go out and do what he wants to do. Yes, those remain, and yet somehow or other, he sees above all that, he sees through the perspective of eternity. And in particular, the deep reality that absolutely stimulates and motivates Paul is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That is everything. That is everything. So we read this morning with Reese, says Paul, "I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, and to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." It permeates everything that Paul thinks about. He sees with the eyes of eternity. Sometimes you hear words and you know the world is never going to be the same again. Small step for man and a big step for mankind. What did Steve Jobs say? "Here is the iPhone. The world's never been the same. What did we hear in Singleton? It's a girl. It's a girl. Three boys and then it's a girl. Little did I know how much my universe would change as a consequence. But I also remember the time when I had the call from the doctor and had to tell Mum, Mum, Dad's gone. Dad's gone. And you hear words and you know that your world is never going to be the same again. And one day they came to the tomb and they told him, nah, he's not here. He is risen. He is risen. And everything changes. Nothing in the universe is ever the same. And Paul absolutely gets that. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of who he is. The resurrection of the Lord, his presence, and his return. You see, he sees eternally. That's why in chapter 1 he says, look, I don't know how this court case is going to go. It might be that it ends in death. Well, for me, that's better. To depart to be with Christ is better. How can he say that? Well, he says it because he's got eternity in his heart. And he believes in the resurrection of Jesus. And consequently, he knows he's going to be safe with him. And that's why we've just read, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly expect a saviour from there. Do we eagerly expect the Saviour to return? Sometimes the second coming of the Lord Jesus seems to me that the doctrine that kind of slips under the carpet. But it's in Paul's mind all the time. Here he says, we eagerly expect the Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they would be like his glorious body. Andy Joyce loves that verse. She's longing for new legs. She's longing for eyes. The next face she'll see will be the face of Jesus, by the way. Our bodies will be transformed in the likeness of our Lord Jesus. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. And I think my thinking, this is a very personal little message to you this evening. I've got to shift my eyes off, if you like, my feet. Because as we read, we're earthly minded. And Paul says, look, you've got to be heavenly minded. You've got to set your eyes on eternity. And throughout the letter, he's talking about the day of Christ he refers to three times. He says, the Lord is near. The return of the Lord is so close. He talks about every knee bowing before the Lord Jesus. His eyes are set on eternity. Yes, there are things in front of him, but he knows his eyes are ahead. And I think he wants us to be the same. And they kind of are. Some of the time. Some other time. I want to know that perspective far more. Let's try this. Oh, okay. Now, I'm sorry if this confused people as they were coming, and it's not proper English, and so don't worry about that, but it is from a famous poem. "'Twas brillig and the slithy toves, did gyre and gimble in the wabe, all mimsy with the borrow groves, and the mowes wrath outgrabe." And I'd like a bit of audience participation here, and you're amongst friends. What were the slithy toves doing in the wabe? They gyre and gimble in the wabe, correct. Next question. How would you describe the borrow groves? They were all mimsy. This class is doing remarkably well. And what can you say about the mome wraths?
Outgrabe.
Oh, we lost that one. It is the correct answer. They outgraved. They did. Well done, Emma. They outgraved. Now, if I'm a teacher and that's a class, I'm feeling good because you've got the right answers. You're feeling good because you've got the right answers. And the fact of the matter is, none of us has a clue what's going on. We've got the words. We haven't a clue what's going on. And the plea to my heart is, can we, Lord help us, move from theory to reality. Paul's was a lived experience. He didn't just think about the resurrection as some interesting historical fact. No, no. The resurrection for him meant that Jesus was alive, present in his life, and was one day going to return. That was Paul's eternal eyesight. And we need to have that as well. I hope I wasn't a precocious kid. I don't think I was. There'll be maybe people who can contradict that. I don't think I was. But there was the story of class 1, Mrs. Booth, when she said to the children at the end of of the day, go home, and I said, and see you tomorrow. And apparently I said something like, only if the Lord wills. Oh, I don't remember saying that. But the poor teacher, I mean, what on earth did she have on her hands? I knew the words. I was preaching to Kenny Mitchell at the age of 7. Poor old Kenny, I was preaching. I knew the words. I had no idea who the Saviour I was speaking of was. And I know the words, I preach it enough. Resurrection, the Lord Jesus, eternal perspective. I kind of know the words. I want to know more than the words. Says Paul, I want to know him and his resurrection and the power of resurrection in my life more and more. There we are. Lord, do something with me in that, that I would shift from this earthbound, concerned with this, that, and the other, and just learn to trust you and start to learn and to look with eternal eyes. It's not always easy. 2 weeks ago, Megan was married in South Africa, but on the morning, can you imagine this? On the morning of the wedding, we're in a little hut on the village she lived. There's a tap on our window, and it's Megan outside, 5 to 6 in the morning of her wedding. She says, Dad, you've got to let me in. In she comes. Now, here's a father, here's a daughter about to be married, saying, you've got to let me in. It turned out that there's a laptop that she needed because she wanted worship songs translated into Zulu, and they hadn't translated across properly, so we're going to have to drive an hour here, an hour there. Listen, when your daughter on the wedding of a marriage says to you, 5 to 6 in the morning, I need to pick up a laptop, you'll take that any day of the week. You absolutely take that any day of the week. But we're driving an hour here, an hour back, and I'm thinking, Lord, in a few days, I'll be preaching on eternal perspectives. And right now, all I can see is panic and quick journeys and hell. I want to see this in the context of your resurrection. And the Lord came through. It was in my mind, and as a consequence, I began to see things a little differently. It wasn't quite the hassle and the strain and the panic. No, there was a peace, because I knew he was with us, because he's raised from the dead, and he promises to be with his people. And you start to begin to think more and more eternally, eyes of eternal perspective. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Now, I think that's clearly a reference to the resurrection. It's just before he dies. I also think it's a reference to his coming again. In a little while, you see me. And then after a little while, you will see me. In a little while. Says Paul in chapter 4, the Lord is near. I think that means two things. I think it means his presence is real, because he's raised, because he's risen, because he's alive. We know the words. Oh, that I would know that deep within my soul, and the presence of him as he leads me and as he speaks to me, that I would know that more and more. But it also means, I think, his coming is near. I think his coming is in a little while, and when he comes, all the waiting will be forgotten. Little Aurelia struggled to go to school for a short period, and so we came up with a little solution. We'd say to Aurelia, look, you're in nursery, but it's only for a little time. You're only there for a little time. So Aurelia would go to school and she'd check with Nonna. I'm just there for a little time. That's right, just a little time. Then we'll come and collect you. One day hadn't gone awfully well. I think it was a Wednesday, and she came out. She said, that was a long little time, she said. When he returned, bodies are transformed, and we realize it was true all along. No one's going to say, that was a long little time. We'll be too caught up in the splendor and the beauty of it. It's coming. It needs to be in our thinking. He's alive. We know it. We sing it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That was challenge for me. It's simple in some ways, and yet it is so profound in the busyness of day-to-day living, that my eyes would learn to look with eternal perspective. You read Philippians, and it's there right the way through. I think Paul wants us to think and to see in the same way. Father, In some ways, it's a simple message. We understand that. Help us each, youngest to oldest, know what it is with our eyes to see the big picture, to see the deeper reality, the reality of the risen Lord Jesus working in and through his people. And soon to return, Lord, we look to your return. In the meantime, there is work to do. Help us do so, but always with that perspective of the eternity that you have placed in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Amen.